Thank you for listening to CJSF. That's it. Thanks.
CJSF 90.1 FM would like to remind listeners that the following program is a repeat broadcast.
You're tuned in here to CJSF 90.1 FM. I am your host, Johnny Bones, and you are listening to Rad Radio. We just kicked in the show with something that makes my little ska punk heart go pitter-patter. That was Bad Optics, the brand new project of Jesse Michaels and Tim Armstrong of Operation Ivy fame. They are back. They are writing. They are making things happen. That song was called Raid. It's available now as part of the Hellcats Singles Club, and there is more stuff on the way. It makes me very, very happy. Now, Jesse and Tim, if you're listening out there, because I know you tune in, I need you just to get Matt and grab Dave Millo and then bring Op Ivy over to Vancouver. Hell, I'll go to California. Just do it once. For
for me?
Please, while I can still go in a mosh pit, that'd be great. Anyways, enough about my love for ska punk and old things out of California. In the studio, live and in the creeping and denim-clad flesh, I am joined by Dylan, I didn't get your last name, of Swear Jar. Sorry, what is it?
It's Hossack. Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Hossack?
Hossack, I know. Ballsack was what I, in high school.
Yeah, that was the high school name?
That's
a lovely one.
Well, thanks for having me, Johnny.
You're very welcome, man. Thank you for spending your time and your Thursday evening here with me.
Funny enough, just before that release, I was listening to Op Ivy the whole drive here.
I'm a man after my own heart.
I was going to say, like, on the way up, I was like, I wonder if he's like, you know, if he has a song that starts. I was like, maybe some Op Ivy. I was like, didn't even have to say anything. Yep. Already the universe did it.
There you go. See? Great minds think alike. So for the folks out there who may not have heard of your band before, could you tell them what band you're in?
So I'm in a band called Swear Jar.
Ooh,
we,
good name.
Started back in 2018. It was basically like... I've been in a lot of bands. I was in a band called Slingshot, like, a long-ass time ago.
Oh, shit. I didn't know you were in that band.
Yeah, I sang in Slingshot. And
no
then,
doubt.
And then, so I did another band, Pharaoh the Friends, after that. Anyways, I kind of just, like, do all these music projects.
Yep.
And then I've realized recently in life that, like, it's kind of like a primal need to, like, make stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good way to get things out.
Yeah. And anyways, so Swear Jar kind of started as, like, my baby project of, like, I love DBS and I love, like, you know, like really like embedded Vancouver bands, and I just wanted to like make cool shit. You know what I mean? And like and just make stuff that I was like inspired by. And there's so many like awesome Vancouver bands, and it's just you can literally like pick and also like Shook Ones, a band that's not from Vancouver but like in the area, Seattle, right? Like
yeah.
Very influential to me. And I just wanted to start something that was I don't know, something just like that's fast, cool, but you know, just didn't necessarily have like rules, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, fair. Previously, not to get off on a tangent, like my band before the one I'm in now, my ska punk band, the Bone Daddies, when me and my guitar player, Skiff, who I still play with now, the Still Spirits, formed that band, we were both out of, like, I was in a political punk band, he was in just, like, a straight-up punk band. We're like, man, we want to do something that, like, isn't boxed in by genre. If we want to write a rockabilly song, we're going to play a rockabilly song. We want to play a ska song, we'll play a ska song, right?
That's cool.
And it was cool, and that band went for a while. I mean, eventually we kind of formed into a sound that just became the band, right? But the idea was to, like, be like, you know, we're just sick of playing quote-unquote punk rock, mm-hmm. even though we still played punk rock, right? It, just being able to create something without any bounds on you is kind of cool.
Well, I find for me, like, I'm like, I hate it, but I'm one of those people that's like, if, like, I find the sound that I'm going for, I kind of, like, want to stick with that. But it's more, when it comes more to, like, a songwriting pattern for me, like, instead of it being, like, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, end,
yep.
I'm like, okay, this part sounds cool. What's the next part? You
right.
know what I mean? Rather than, like, let's run it back into this. That's more of, like, a writing style. But do you want me to keep going about
yeah, please.
The band's history? Like, anyway, so we started in 2018. Good friends just, like, wanted to jam in our... It was originally going to start with myself singing and playing guitar where it is now, but our original singer, Curtis, you know, kind of just jumped in and was like, hey, like, can I sing for you guys? And I was like, hell yeah.
Sure.
If I don't have to sing anymore, like, that's great. That's work for me.
Yeah.
And then so Curtis came along and, you know, we had like a great like 3 years before the pandemic, I guess. And then Curtis actually got like a really good job opportunity to work for Facebook.
Oh, no
shit. He literally like is one of those people that got
working for the enemy.
Got flown down to fucking San Francisco and is like living down there. So anyways.
That's not bad though.
Yeah, no, it's great. I'm super happy for him. And then anyway, so what happened? Long story short, I basically just, the original plan for the band ended up happening where it's just me playing guitar and singing again.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, I came across you guys because my old pal Richard Lowe is your guys'. Is he playing bass in Swear Jar?
Yeah. And
of course.
Richard's been here from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, me and Rich go back, like, what was the band that he was in? It was Fatty Matty.
Picking on Toddlers.
That was it. I was going to say Hooker Pop, but that was a different band. But yeah, Picking on Toddlers, man.
Yeah, me and Lowe go way back as well. Funny story about Lowe is that we were at, like, an Elf House show.
Yeah.
And we always say this stupid fucking, this inside joke with this, because it's like, I had this like bag of weed and it was literally like a nug like that big.
Yeah.
And he was just like, oh man, like, share the wealth. And I was just like, I have like this nug, like, no. And he was also like in high school. I think he was like literally a high school kid at this point. And he's like, I'll never forget this, man. Like, so upset. And then, like, to this day, we'll still just be like, I'll never forget this dude. Like,
he's a sweet boy.
He's always the sweetest boy.
A sweet, loving boy.
He's a, I would, I would straight up say that he is Vancouver famous at this point.
I mean, he's been around a minute.
He's been around a while.
He's damn good. Is he still playing in like fucking three other bands? He was playing in like well, he was drumming in like
problem.
That.
Your problem. Greatest Sons. He plays bass in, and then he's playing bass in Us, and then I think that's
I thought
it.
He had one more for a bit.
Maybe
I could be wrong
for a minute. I think he's reduced it down to three. I think there was talks of a fourth band.
Mm.
They're always talking about other bands and doing more things.
Yeah. Conspiring behind your back.
Exactly. But, and like Lowe's the man, and like it's funny this. Most recent EP we made, like we started in 2020, and it took like it was like a 3-year process, like 2 years making it, yeah. But it wasn't like on and like you know 2 years on. It was like a month here and like
playing around, you know, taking time.
Yeah. But like we're really happy with like how this one turned out. Not that we didn't like love how the first EP turned out, but for me. This EP is like this will probably go down as one of my favorite like things that I've made in my life. You know,
no shit,
like, I'm super proud of it.
Well, speaking of the new album, the EP is called Swear Jar 2.
Swear Jar 2. We went very dandy for this.
Very good. And it is being released by our friends at Early Onset Records.
Yes,
is that correct?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
It's
part of their round 2. Vinyl release?
Well, no, we're doing no vinyls.
Oh, no.
We're just a digital release.
Oh, there you go.
We just wanted to. What it was is that we've been sitting on this for so long. We were talking to like a bunch of other labels. You know, I don't know if you know much about like the deal, but they always want to like get rights, and it's like kind of like it's a really hokey pokey situation.
It's a messed up thing. I have lots of conversations with Marco from Dreadnoughts about how cool Stomp is as a label, but then also some of the downfalls and or just like he's like, you know what? Like they're great. They're rad.
I've heard good things about Stomp.
He's like, they're super awesome. He's like, but at the end of the day, he's like, in today's world, he's like, I can just do it myself mostly. You know, so just do it. Like he's like, we appreciate the help, but if we don't need it, we'll just do it. And
I was talking to like a bunch of different labels, and my other band Rest Easy has been working with this label Mutant League, which has been awesome. So I've kind of gotten a really like good idea of what a good label is like.
Yep.
So then, just in talking to some of these other labels, I was just like, why would I like deal with this stranger with this music that I love when I could literally deal with my friends who I absolutely trust? You know what I mean?
100%. I dig what Early Onset is doing so very much.
It's the coolest thing ever.
It's a really cool program. It's a really unique business model because it's not a business model.
A really like big chance, and it's like
it's cool, man. I've got a stack of all their fucking stuff. I think half of it's in there.
I'm just like
it's
glad
very cool.
That we're at this point where they have the vinyl now, because I know for the first little bit there was like
it was a bit
really
of a struggle.
Stressful.
Yeah, I definitely gave them $100, and then it was like a year before I saw something
dude.
In my hand. But
it's
it was out of their control.
You know, you have to blame Taylor Swift and Adele, and well, maybe more so Adele. I think.
Also, that the whole vinyl lacquer industry catching literally on fire and then leaving Japan.
Did not know that.
No, you didn't know that? Yeah,
no.
there was a couple companies that made vinyl lacquer, right?
Oh,
which
wow.
is the finishing process you need for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like Europe and I think somewhere in America. The plants caught on fire, so you couldn't get vinyl lacquer anywhere. So it left the entire global vinyl market lacquer to be supplied by one small boutique company in Japan.
Wow.
That suddenly had the entire global market.
Wow.
So they ramped up production, but they can only do so much also during a pandemic. And then everyone else is scrambling to try to figure out how to formulate this lacquer, because the other companies are like, no, we're just going to fucking take the money and run the insurance and we're out of the business, right?
Well, I don't know if you know, but there's literally like photos and photos of just like boxes of Adele records that are just like at welfare now because no one bought them.
Yeah, I mean, Adele's great and all, but you know.
No, and I have no issue with Adele.
People want different things.
It's not her. It's the marketing and all that, but like Adele fans don't want vinyl.
Yeah, but everyone thinks it's hot. Anyways, we're getting off on topic.
Yeah.
Let's get back to Swear Jar 2. So the album's coming out
tomorrow. At midnight.
Wow. I'll let you people in. No, you can find it. No, but the release party is happening. Is it Friday or Saturday?
It is a Saturday.
Saturday, April the 15th at Green Auto. Who else is on the bill?
So we're getting our friends out from Winnipeg. Their name is Ceilings. Really
cool.
Fucking cool band.
That name sounds familiar. I think
I've
heard
of
them.
You might have popped them around. You know, they're great. I just like... So what I wanted to do is just wanted to kind of like grab... I didn't want it just to be like the typical Vancouver bands. Like, anyways, I just like... asked around. I got Cloaker from Kelowna coming. I've got Poor Sport from Victoria coming.
Holy shit.
And then Ceilings is coming out from Winnipeg, which I'm like super excited because I remember catching an ear about them in like 2018 and then just kind of like putting in my back in my head being like, that band's awesome, maybe I'll like talk to them later. But then of course like the pandemic happened, so as soon as it was an option, I was like, hey guys, like, do you want to come out west? I tried to get Victoria, Vancouver, Kelowna. Victoria one fell through, and anyways, so it worked out. They're coming on over, and super excited.
That's fucking excellent, man.
You don't see local shows very often that are like one local band and everyone else is out of town.
Yeah, it's that's literally, everyone's been like, so it's all out of town bands, eh? And I'm like, yeah, like the idea is that we're just gonna play and give anything that we make to them, obviously, because they're the ones traveling.
That's an excellent idea for your release show. Okay, let's get into the album right now. This is off Swear Jar 2. This track is called Unfinished Business. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit about the music video that just came out for it. The song goes like this. You're listening to Rad Radio on CJSF.
I must have fucked this up, but I wanna lie. But I couldn't bear to see it. If I die before tomorrow, might as well say that I tried. Back. Lots of red, I can't believe it.
tuned to CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Johnny Bones, and you're listening to Rad Radio. We just heard two tracks off the brand new EP from Swear Jar. The album is up now on your Bandcamp or at midnight if you want to be official about it, but shh, go over here. You can listen right now. I'm letting the genie out of the bottle. And is officially being released to the public at large on Saturday, April the 15th at Green Auto with Swear Jar and a whole shit ton. Run down the list again of all the out-of-town bands.
We got Ceilings from Winnipeg. We've got Cloaker from Kelowna. And then we got Poor Sport coming over, taking the ferry from Victoria.
Cloaker from Kelowna.
Yeah.
There's something about how that rings off the tongue that I enjoy.
Cloaker from Colognes.
Very good. The song that we heard was Unfinished Business. What was that last track we just listened to?
So that's the second track off the EP called Vessel. And I think that maybe was the second one that we actually like jammed and had done, like way back when we were jamming this all out. But
oh, very cool.
Very cool. And Vessel is, I'm trying to think. It's just like whenever I think of like song, I don't know how it is for you, but when you have, even for yourself, like you write the song, you know the lyrics, and it takes you a while to really sort out what the fuck you're even talking about.
It happens a lot, yeah. You write something, you're like, I'm saying something here,
yeah.
But like, what the fuck am I talking about?
I'm more of a person that's like, I like to let the listener, as myself being a listener, you being a listener, you know, kind of just have it be their own interpretation anyways. I hate how like this, it's like the vocalist wrote it like this and it's about this, so it can only mean that one thing. It's like, fuck that, it can mean whatever anyone wants it to mean.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that art at its best is a, you know, a personal experience between the piece of art that you're experiencing and the viewer / listener, right? While the artist may have intent of what it means to them or what intention they had when they created it, once it's created and it's out there, you really kind of lose agency of what that art is and what it can speak to people, right?
Well, let me put it this way. Have you ever had, like, you've had a new song that you've, like, you don't know the lyrics are at all, but it's just a banging song,
yep.
And you're just, like, loving it, and you're fucking making up the words because you don't know what they are. It's like, that's a feeling, you know, yep. What I mean? Like, that's, you can't argue with that, and that's music for me in a nutshell. It's like, sure, the lyrics could be the coolest thing ever, but it's like, it's really the sounds and the feel that give me what I like about music.
Very cool, man. Very cool. I wanted to chat with you real quick about the first song that we kicked in off of the EP entitled Unfinished Business. So you guys released a hell of a music video for that, and I wanted to chat with you about it. First off, I just wanted to congratulate you on the concept of it. I think just as a general concept of an idea, having a ghost playing a concert at their own funeral is pretty fucking great, and it's really simple to do, but it looks like $1 million. So who helped you put that together? First, who came up with the concept?
Thanks, Johnny. That means a lot, dude. It's like, whenever you make any kind of video project, you never know what you're going to get until it's, like, done. You, like, it could be filmed, it could be great, but you don't really know until it's done. Anyways, Kyle Pigot, who made some of the Rest Easy videos, actually made this video. And he works in film. Like, he's a lighting specialist,
yep.
Like, in the movie industry.
Yeah.
So, anyways, like, he's made videos for Rest Easy, my other band, in the past.
Hmm.
But he came out that we literally filmed that video in my the guest room of my apartment building.
No,
like,
shit.
So it's like the room that people would have marriages.
Yeah,
and
like the conference room,
yes,
or whatever. Yeah,
the strata room.
Yeah, the swing strata room.
Literally, no, where we did it.
That's excellent. Yeah. I thought for sure you guys just were like, oh, we had a line on a fucking funeral parlor and just
God no, we faked it till we made it, man. And it's so funny because the concept was mine and Kyle's. My idea, because the song's Unfinished Business, and yep. I really like videos and songs themes going together. I just think it's like awesome, but it really worked out, and we had so many different variations of what we wanted to do. It was like, originally it was like, I'm gonna get hit with a bus and then I'm gonna not know I'm dead. I'm gonna be doing like errands, like doing the lawn, and like we were really just like, I had this like super grandiose idea of all that stuff, and Kyle was just like, hey man, like, let's just do it all in one room and like get everyone in like in one place. We just have to do one day shoot and we'll get it all done, like lickety split. Anyways, like 7 a.m. that morning that we shot the video, I like opened my door and there's like a full film crew like outside my, it wasn't just like Kyle and like two buddies. It was like the whole crew. They had like an entire like lighting rig set up, and like for what we paid, like it's like crazy. Like
it looks great, man. Like you get the effects. I mean, you can tell that whoever was directing it whether or not it was the director or not, you could tell that there was definitely a lighting tech on there because it has the cinematic lighting. You can see it in the camera work. You can see it in the subtle lighting that is really acts as the only real effects besides the ghost effect, which is excellent.
Well, the only thing about like everyone, the crew that was there, is that everyone that was there just wants to make stuff and they just wanted to help make stuff.
Yeah.
So like the guy that was doing the like cinematography, like the guy, the filming guy, I can't remember the technical term. There was people like running like lighting guys. Anyways, like they were all there on a fucking Sunday. It was a Sunday.
Yeah.
And on their own time. It was like it was a holiday Sunday and they just wanted to show up to like do stuff. Like I think I bought everyone like pizza and had like lots of snacks because like the snacks you see in the video were what everyone was eating. It was just it really worked out.
That works good though, because you know it looks like he gets munged. That's great.
Well, we had everything we needed at this like clubhouse to make it look like a funeral home, and my building just looks like a funeral home already, so it just like worked out. It's like a geriatrics building. I'm like the youngest person in my in my place. But I'm really happy with how it turned out. But like I was saying, it's like you can make something, think it's going to be great, watch it on the screen, and then you're like, wow, that's a piece of shit. You just never know.
No, it looks excellent. And literally when it's fucking Ryan from Anthems.
Yeah.
And of course, Early Onset pops up there to give like the eulogy. I'm like, it's so fucking good.
His daughter, Violet, came out as well. It was awesome.
Oh, no
like,
shit.
We had like, there were so many people that came out just to extra. It was crazy. Like,
it's so very good. And then the fucking, the floating guitar for the ghost. I don't know.
Green screen.
Is that what it is? Green I'm like, screen. I don't know if they had like, if it was up on wires and like a stiff thing. Or
so funny story is that Kyle, the director, messaged me one day and he's like, okay, so like we gotta have this guitar like float somehow, but like you, like what are we gonna do with this guitar strap? And he was just like, why don't you just get some like coat hangers and
run it through
and just like tape it like to the smart. back. And I was just like, Kyle, you're a crazy man. Like, that's, excuse me, that's never going to work. Rightly so, it worked perfectly.
No, listen to the film, guys, man. Like, the most jury-rigged thing is usually how film works.
I'm showing
man.
Johnny, you can't see
that's
it.
Fucking
it's just a green screen mess. A guy in a green screen suit, that's like so the good. Green man suit, holding it up. I don't know,
that's,
you can't see it.
That's fucking
there.
Here.
Give me yeah, hold it up over there.
People can see it on the live stream of how the magic is fucking working.
It was, it was pretty good.
That's fucking excellent, man. I love it. It's really good. If you guys haven't checked it out, like, definitely go onto your social medias, go onto YouTube. You can find it. Just search up Swear Jar Unfinished Business. It's definitely worth the 2 minutes of your time to check it out. It looks fantastic.
And we had a lot of fun making the video too. It was a really quick shoot. I think for a day shoot, it was like, you know, I think that we were there for maybe like 10 hours, but that's pretty
but still,
short.
One day you got the whole fucking thing done. Fucking in and out. I like it.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Let's dig back into this EP a little bit. What would be another track you would dig in here if you had your choice?
Let's do my personal favorite right now is Till the Ceiling Breaks. Let's listen.
All right, cool. Anything we should know about this song?
One thing like we were just saying about like how it's like kind of hard for me to like pin down like what I wrote. This song I would say is just like an accumulation of like looking back on past mistakes and like regret on life, and more just like I don't know. It's kind of like, it's positive, but it's also not. It's a weird song. I love it, though.
All right. But at the end of the day, it doesn't fucking matter. What does it mean to you, listener?
Exactly.
What does it mean to you?